Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, it's all in your head. Don't you like it when people say that to you? Kind of dismiss what you're thinking. It's all in your head. That's the title of the sermon today, and that's typically how we use that, somebody's made something up or it's not really real. It's all in their head, but that's not how I mean that this morning. Because as we have been looking over the last number of weeks, the spiritual realm is very real. And Christ really is seated in the heavenly realms at the right hand of God. And for those who are abiding in Christ, we are seated there with Him in the heavenly realm. And our spiritual enemies are real. Satan and his spirits and his demons who help him. It's all real. It's not made up. And any reading of Scripture, any honest reading of Scripture will lead us to this clear reality. So it is not all in your head. So why do I use that phrase? The reason I use that phrase is because the battle is in your head. The battle is for your mind. In your mind and in your head, spiritual warfare is a battle for your mind. And so, having the tools and having the weapons to protect our mind and to protect our thoughts is of the utmost importance, because temptations start there. That's where temptations start. They come into your mind. They come into your thoughts. And Satan works really hard to ensure that that tempting thought then leads to action. And I really appreciate the words to the song that you read this morning, Matthew, because they fit beautifully with this sermon this morning. So we need to fortify our minds. We need to reclaim spiritual ground. We've talked about that quite a bit. We need to renew our minds. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. We need to renew our minds so that we can take back this ground, this permission that we give Satan. We do that through our sin. We do that giving him ground through participation with demons in the occult, by being unwilling to forgive, by not dealing with the sin of our heritage and our past, and by believing the lies of the enemy. All of those are ways that we give him ground, give him permission. And so we've got to fortify our minds and renew our minds and take back that ground. And one of the ways that we do that is that we demolish strongholds. And that's what I want to talk about today, to give you a tool, to give you a weapon in your arsenal, a tool in your tool belt that you can use to demolish these strongholds that the enemy builds in our mind. We want to demolish those strongholds, and we want to replace them with towers of truth. And so let's just step back a minute and remind ourselves of how Satan works. He tempts us. He tempts us in areas where we are naturally weak, where our own evil desires have already made that temptation enticing. And if we don't use our weapons, if we don't use our tools, then and there, in that moment, then he just reinforces that temptation. And we very likely give in to that temptation, and it leads us to sin. And again, when we do that, we are giving ground to Satan. We are giving him permission. We are giving him that foothold in our minds that he can begin to expand on and begin to build on. And what Satan builds are strongholds. And when we use that word, I want you to think, conjure in your mind some medieval picture of a castle or of a fortress. And that's language that the Psalms uses a lot. We use that language in the Psalm that we read this morning, that God is our fortress. And we're going to get there. But right now we're talking about these fortresses, these castles, these strongholds that Satan will build in our minds and in our lives after he has gained some ground. And then he just, out of that seemingly impregnable, that's a hard word for me to say, impregnable stronghold, he seeks to then do destruction in our lives. Because remember, that is his goal. He has nothing good in mind for you. His whole purpose is to steal the blessings and the joy and the peace and the life that God gives you. His whole purpose is to destroy you and your family and ultimately to see that you are dead eternally. That's his goal for you and for your family. And so this idea of a stronghold, let's read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, the weapons that we fight with, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, I think it's pretty clear in these verses that Paul is talking about our minds, because he talks about arguments, he talks about pretensions, he talks about knowledge, he talks about thoughts. And so these strongholds that we can demolish, they're built in our minds. These fortresses are in our minds. And so what are we talking about when we talk about a stronghold? Here's my definition this morning of a stronghold. It is a belief or a habitual pattern of thinking that is not consistent with what God says is true. Okay, so that's a stronghold. It is a belief. It's a belief system. It's a habitual way of thinking. And it is not consistent with what God says is true. Therefore, it's built on a lie. Strongholds are built on the lies that Satan feeds to us. And so a stronghold begins with a lie. It begins with a faulty belief. Over time, it keeps getting reinforced if it's not dealt with, and it becomes a whole belief system. And our behaviors always follow our beliefs. And therefore, wrong beliefs lead to wrong behavior. So it's critically important that we think correctly, that we think true thoughts, that we don't build our lives on a lie, but we build our lives on God's truth, because that is going to play itself out in our behaviors. And so this stronghold, it gets built on a lie, and it sits there in your mind, and it is like a thick castle wall. And through that stronghold, that lie, Satan influences your thoughts and he influences your behavior. So it's very important that we get this, that it's all built on a lie. But it's lies that make sense to us. It's lies that for some reason we believe. It's like going back to Eve. It's the way Satan has always worked. He just looked Eve in the eye and he just bald-faced lied to her. And he told her, basically, God is holding out on you. What he said is not completely true. And she believed it. And that's the way he still works. And so it's all lies, but it's lies that make a little bit of sense to us. Because our enemy is deceptive and he is convincing. And very often these lies begin all the way back when we're kids. And we build our life on them. Satan will often use bullies to say things to you. And we can kind of dismiss that, but we all know those words hurt. And those words stick. And those things that people say to you, man, I'm 55 years old and I can remember some of the things that were said to me when I was 10 years old that I still have to combat in my life. Because I believed him. He'll use bullies to do that. He'll use parents, sadly, to do that. We all are at fault in that. He'll use relatives. He'll use teachers. He'll use coaches that say things that really hurt us. Things like, you're just stupid. You'll never make it. You'll never get it. You're ugly. You're useless. It's all your fault. And as time goes up, he just reinforces those lies. And as time goes on, we begin to believe those lies and what they're saying about us. And they become the way that we make our decisions and the way that we act out our behaviors. They're part of our default thinking. And so feelings of inferiority, feelings of insecurity, feelings of inadequacy, those are all strongholds. And they're all lies, because no God, no child of God is inferior. No child of God has to be insecure. No child of God is inadequate. But they sound true and they feel true and they're reinforced. And it causes us to think and to act into ways that are contrary to God's truth. So, here's a really good way you can know whether or not you're dealing with a stronghold in your life. When you know what you should do, but you just don't seem to be able to do it. That's one way you can know that you're dealing with a stronghold. You know what you should do, but you just don't seem to be able to do it. Or the reverse, when you know what you shouldn't do, but you don't seem to be able to stop. That's a stronghold. That's because Satan has built something up in you that is just, it's the filter through which you're thinking and acting. You know this, but you can't do this, or you can't do it. You know you shouldn't do this, but you do it. And so I said strongholds get started often by things that are said to us as children. There's several other ways that the enemy builds strongholds in our life. One of those is just the environment that we live in. Our environment contributes to strongholds. The place we grew up, the family we grew up in, the friends we grew up with. We all live in a fallen and a broken world, and it is under the rule of Satan. And he uses all of those factors to draw us away from God and away from his truth and away from his freedom and away from his life. So our environment, Satan uses that to build strongholds. Another way Satan builds strongholds is if you experience a traumatic experience. That contributes to a stronghold often. It may be like divorce or a rape or abuse or death or intense experiences. And we try to make sense of those, and Satan will lie to us to try to make sense of those, and we'll build our life on that lie. Another way is that we give in to temptation. When we give in to temptation, Satan is building a stronghold, because when tempting thoughts are not dealt with, and next week we're going to look very specifically at how to resist Satan. But when temptations are not dealt with, they inevitably lead to sin. And repeating that sin leads to habits and to addictions. And engaging in that habit long enough produces a stronghold of Satan in your mind. And so that's why Satan tempts us over and over in the same ways. I'm tempted by things you're not tempted by. I have weaknesses that you don't have. And Satan knows that. He knows where we're weak. He knows where to attack, where he has a greater chance of building up a stronghold in your mind. So now let's get to the practical stuff. How do we demolish these strongholds? How do we clear our mind of the places where Satan has planted himself? And one of those is that we reclaim spiritual ground. And we've talked about this. Reclaim the spiritual ground that you have given Satan. Take it back. You can use the four C's that we talked about. Confess your sin to God, who is faithful and just to forgive you. Cancel the permission you've given to Satan. Command Satan and any of his spirits and demons to leave in the name of Jesus. And commit your life again to the Lord Jesus and to his kingdom. So reclaim spiritual ground every single time it's given up. The second thing you need to do is take personal responsibility for your life. And as a preacher, I want to be careful how I say this, because sometimes I can kind of come on and, like, as the preacher, say, well, take responsibility. I don't want to say it that way. What I want to say is, brothers and sisters, God's plan, God's purpose in your life, the way God moves and works in your life is that He works with you. And He wants you to take responsibility for yourself. He's given you that dignity that you can take personal responsibility for yourself. We live in a culture that in some ways celebrates victimhood. And there really are people who are victims. Victim to all kinds of things that the enemy, through people, perpetrates in our life. I'm not dismissing that at all. But what I'm saying to you is, it is not God's plan for you. It's not life-giving and healthy and productive for you to remain thinking of yourself as a victim. What God wants you to do is take responsibility for yourself at this point and move forward. He wants you to live in freedom. And as long as we hold on to that victim mentality and look at ourselves that way and shape our whole life around that, as long as we continue in that, we are trapped and we are imprisoned by the enemy at that place. But the Bible tells us that God has given us everything we need for godliness. He's given it to us. Every spiritual blessing. We talked about the riches of His storehouse are inexhaustible. He has given us everything we need to live a godly life. And so, if you want to move forward, if you want to change your thinking, if you want to demolish strongholds and build your life on what is true, and one of the things you got to do is take responsibility for yourself today. You cannot change others. You cannot change the past. You can't change what anybody said or what anybody did. But you can change you with God's help. And He is ready to help. So as we take personal responsibility for our life, the third thing, and this is where the meat of this sermon, this is the tool that I want to give you that works, because I use it and I have experienced that it works in my life, is you do what Paul said to do and you take every thought captive. Take every thought captive, because you can capture your thoughts. Okay, here's the analogy that helped me so much. I want you to think of your life as your mind. I want you to think of it as an airport. Okay, you've pictured an airport. That's your mind. And you, because you are personally responsible for yourself, you are the air traffic controller. And thoughts are the planes that are trying to come into the airport. So you got that picture in your mind. Your mind is the airport, you're the air traffic controller, and thoughts are these planes who they want to land in your mind. And you, because you are in control of your thoughts, because you have personal responsibility, you get to decide if the plane is going to land or not. Now, I want you to remember that just because you think something, that's not a sin. I want us to be clear about that. A thought in itself is not a sin. Just because something pops into your head doesn't mean that you have sinned. Because thoughts come from all kinds of places. We're bombarded with thoughts all day long. All kinds of planes are trying to land themselves as thoughts in our mind. They come from our own mind. And too often, they come from our own sinful nature. They come from the enemy, the devil. Thoughts come from God, from above. Thoughts come from other people. Thoughts come from something that we see or that we listen to or that we read or that we watch. Some thoughts are good, some thoughts are bad. Thoughts are not sin, but thoughts can become sin when we let them land. You following me? When we let them land, and when we let them start taking root, and when we start dwelling on them and we ruminate over them, and that's going to eventually lead us to action. If it's a good thought, it'll lead us to good action. If it's a bad thought, it'll lead us to bad action. So a thought comes into your head, an image pops into your head, an idea enters your mind. She's really good looking. That donut looks so good. It's not fair that they get to take vacations that I don't get to go on. You know, those casinos look fun. I think I could beat the house. Nobody's going to notice if I pick this up. Nobody's going to notice if I watch this. You get the idea. You know the thoughts that come into your head. All kinds of thoughts that want to come in for a landing. But see, you get to decide what will land. You're in control of your mind. God's given you that ability and that dignity. And so when a thought approaches, and you notice on the radar that it's coming in, then you get to discern. We've been praying every week that we will have wisdom and knowledge, that we'll know God, that the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened so that we can discern what's from God and what's not. What's from Satan? What's from us? Does that thought need to land or not? Is that thought true or is that thought a lie? And then once you know, then, and this all happens in just an instant, then here's the real key. If that is a thought that is a lie, if that is a thought is going to lead to sin, if that is a thought that is from Satan, if that is not true, if that is not from God, if that is not helpful or healthy, then what I do is I speak out loud to that thought. Now, I have to be careful if I'm in a crowd. But I do. I speak out loud to that thought. And I say, I'm not allowing that thought to land. I say, I am not going to entertain that thought. I say, I reject that thought. I say, I will not dwell on that thought. I say, get behind me, Satan. I'm serious about this. I had to do this Tuesday. For some reason, on Tuesday, all kinds of thoughts that didn't need to be there were coming into my head. Satan was tempting me over and over on Tuesday in a very specific area that he knows I am weak. And I was driving into work and I was saying out loud, I am not letting those thoughts land. I'm not entertaining those thoughts. Get behind me, Satan. And it works. Praise God, it works. I did not fall into sin. And I've said before, you will never be sinless, but you can sin less. By the grace of God and the help of God and using the tools that are not of this world, you can sin less. And that's a much better life. And I want you to realize that this tool is something that Jesus himself used. Do you know that? We have an instance of Jesus doing this. It's in Matthew chapter 16. And Peter has just confessed. And Jesus said he was able to confess it because God gave him the knowledge. See, God puts thoughts in our heads. And Peter confessed and he said, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God. And it was a great spiritual moment for Peter and the disciples. And then Jesus follows that up with a teaching. And he begins to really tell them specifically for the first time what is coming. And he says, we're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer at the hands of the leaders. And it's going to lead to my death. I'm going to die a horrible death. And Peter, who just got a thought from God, in the next instance gets a thought from the devil. Anybody relate with Peter? And Peter comes to Jesus and he says, absolutely not. Lord, No, that is not true. That is not going to happen. I've just said, you're the Son of God. God would never allow his Son to do that. That is not the way this is going to end. And what does Jesus do? See, Jesus was in control of his thoughts. He had personal responsibility for what he thought. And through Peter, Satan put a thought in Jesus' head. And although Jesus was completely divine, he was also completely human, and he was tempted in every way, just as we are. And for just that moment, that thought came into his head. And if he had let it land, it would have festered, and it would have built, and it would have been this. Maybe this isn't really what God wanted. Maybe there is another way. Maybe I don't have to go through that. But Jesus dealt with it immediately. And as soon as Peter said that and that thought entered Jesus' head, Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." See, this is a tool that Jesus used. And I think if Jesus used it, we ought to pay attention to it. If it helped him, it can help us. Jesus wasn't going to let those thoughts take land and take ground. He wasn't going to believe that lie. He took his thoughts captive. And we can too. And see, the imagery behind taking every thought captive is taking them at gunpoint. In the old language, it was actually spear point, but I modernized it to gunpoint because most of you aren't carrying spears. That's the imagery, is to take a thought captive is to take it at gunpoint, to arrest it, to stop it. And instead of that thought just adding to the stronghold that Satan is building, we arrest it, we take it captive, and the stronghold gets weaker. And because those thoughts are led into the stronghold of Christ, obeying truth, obeying Christ, becomes the new stronghold of your mind. That language from the Psalms of a fortress. And that's the stronghold we want to build up in our minds, is the stronghold of Christ. And so we take thoughts captive. And we don't entertain them. We don't dwell on them. We put them under the obedience of Christ. That's the main part of the tool that I want you to get this morning. But there's another thing we need to do, and that's renew our mind. To build up that stronghold of Christ. Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? Philippians 4, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. See, I think the practical thing here is just to believe truth, to be discerning enough to be in prayer, in relationship with God, in the Word, to be discerning enough to recognize those thoughts when they're coming and know whether who they're from and who they're not from and whether they're true and or whether they're a lie. And the only way to really renew our mind is to be in God's Word and to be reminded of His truth, because lies come from everywhere, but truth comes from God. So renew our mind and think about things that are above and immerse ourselves in God's Word and in His truth and choose to believe the truth and choose to reject the lies. And I put a handout in your bulletin this morning. We're not going to go through it, but I put a handout in your bulletin that on one side, it has a lot of things that we come to believe about ourselves. And when we come to believe those things about ourselves, Satan makes a stronghold in our mind and we act out of that belief. So on one side are those lies. On the other side are truths from God's Word that speak against that stronghold. And so I hope that will be very helpful to you. I want you to remember this. Strongholds don't get built up overnight and they don't go away overnight. This is a practice you've got to continue to do, to take these thoughts captive. Because those lies got built up over decades, and it takes time for them to come down. So keep controlling your thoughts. Keep seeking and believing truth. It's like a wrecking ball going up against that fortress in your mind. Every single time that wrecking ball hits, it is fracturing and it is weakening that stronghold. But it doesn't come down the first time. It may take 40 times before it comes down. But every time it was getting weaker. And the last thing, and it's the most important thing, and that is rely on the Holy Spirit. If you want to demolish strongholds in your life, rely on the Holy Spirit. These weapons are not from this world. They are from God. They are divine, 1 Corinthians said. And so you need to be abiding in Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit needs to be abiding in you. Receive the Holy Spirit that God is giving you. Live a Spirit-filled life. He is your helper. He will lead you into truth. He will remind you of things that Jesus said. Don't take this little tool and say, okay, man, I can do this. I can buckle down and I can do this. We will never accomplish this in the flesh. We can only accomplish this in the Spirit. And He is available to you. So would you join me in prayer? Father, I thank you so much for this weapon. You've given us everything we need to be godly. First and foremost, you've given us yourself. We thank you so much for the forgiveness of our sins and for the residence of the Holy Spirit in us. And Father, we do. We receive your Spirit. We seek your Spirit. We ask again to be filled with your Spirit. Give us the power and the help we need, Lord, to be responsible for ourselves and to take thoughts captive, to bring them under your authority, to reject those that lead to death, and to dwell on and build our lives on those that lead to life. And I pray, Lord, with your help, that as we practice these kinds of tools, as we use these kinds of weapons, that you really would demolish the work of Satan in our minds and destroy those strongholds that are just built on lies, Lord, and build in us towers of truth. I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.